How I love Jesus, because He first loved me. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love You today. We thank You for all that You've done for us. Lord, we can't express in words how we feel, but we thank You, Lord, for Your mercy and Your grace, for Calvary, for the sacrifice that You made for us. You took our place. You took our sins upon Yourself, Lord, that we could have eternal life. We thank You for the opportunity today to gather together with those of like precious faith, to look into the pages of Your Word, Lord, to invite Your Spirit to come and lift us up into heavenly places, Lord. May we hear Your thoughts, Father. May we hear Your words. May You impart Your wisdom from above. Bless each and every one here, Lord. I know there's many needs and requests, Lord. Too many to be mentioned, Lord, but we commit them to You now, realizing that You know all things. And Lord, we just ask for Your mercy. We ask You to help us, O God. May You bless the reading of Your word now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While we're standing, can we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. And I'm going to read down through verse 31. Amen. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both the Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. You may be seated. God bless you. Praise the Lord. It's good to be here today. Amen. Just a couple announcements before we get into the message. I don't know if anybody's had a chance to see the billboard. Has anybody seen it on 95? I've seen it. So we have the right. If you're going 95 south from Betsy Ross and the bridges, and you go down towards the stadium. As you come as the stadium starts to come into view and you're turning a corner, it's on the left side. So it's not on the right side, but it's on the left side facing you as you're going south. And it's very readable, and I think it's probably caused people to say, what's that all about? So, you know, we were talking today to the family about it, and, you know, we may never understand how God would use something like that. And we may never hear about it on this side. But see, God's able to take truth and minister to people. He's able to, by His Spirit, cause someone to think about and say, yes, what really happened in the Garden of Eden. And you know, if God works on both sides, it's over right there, see. But some people will look and they won't care. God's not dealing with them. Some people might look and criticize. God's not dealing with them. But the one that looks and says, you know, I've always wondered about that. I've always had in my heart, I didn't believe it was an apple. And so the answer is there. The truth is there. So I trust and pray God will use it as He will. And I have something else I want to read from Sister Rachel. She sent us a nice card. And Maureen said, you better read that. So I better read it. Not that I wouldn't want to, I would just forget. So it says, with gratitude, dear precious brothers and sisters, thank you so much for all your kind words and well wishes for our family's big move. The acceptance, love, and welcoming spirit we felt as we fellowshipped with you was incredible, and I miss it dearly. I find encouragement in the thought that we will one day meet again, even if it is as we are passing through the air. Our new home is just fine, lots of work, and some days we scratch our heads wondering why we signed up for this. You are each and every one in my thoughts and prayers. May God richly bless and keep you always and in all things. Love in Christ our Lord, Sister Rachel, and the Sweeney clan. So, nice card. And surely we miss our sister. You know, we saw something real in her, you know. She didn't have to say a lot, but there was something there. And I think that's the wonderful thing about the Spirit of God is you don't have to say a lot. You don't have to get a trumpet and announce, there's a king living in me. He makes himself known. He makes himself known. And I thought she was just a wonderful, wonderful sister. Just something about her. You can't even really explain it. So, and, you know, she's in a unique situation with her husband not really coming to church. And I think she's told me she did a lot of things wrong, but she's learned. And I think she's dealing with it in the right way. See, you'll never, ever force anybody to serve God. Never. But you can live salty so they get thirsty. I think that's the right way. To not say, I'm going to push and force and require and manipulate, that doesn't work. Let Him live. Let Him come out and draw. If I be lifted up, I'll draw men to me. You know, and we know He's referring to the cross, how He was lifted up on Calvary. But to me, if we lift Him up in our lives and He becomes visible, He will draw men to Himself. So it's not about us forcing our way. It's about us getting out of the way and letting God do what He does best. He's the Savior. We're not. He's great at saving people. We're good at getting in the way. And once we get that lesson, I think it makes it easier to rest and say, you know what? God's going to do what He's going to do. No man comes to me unless the Father draws him. All the Father has given me will come. Do we trust Him? Do we believe Him? Amen. See, if we really love Him, we're going to believe Him. You're going to believe. You can't say you love Him and then you don't trust Him. No, if you love Him, you're going to believe Him. Praise the Lord. It's good to have Matthew here with us today, and we're not going to push and force to sing and things like that. So somebody asked him, and he said, no, I don't really want to, unless you want to. So it's good to see Matthew doing well in Arizona, and I think he said something about he works for the Department of State, and we had that discussion that I don't like that. Why does it say Department of State if it's the federal government? State is a state. But see, when you say the state of Israel, you understand it's the nation of Israel, right? But when you say Department of State, to me, I'm thinking, what state? Right? But Department of State was to be called Department of Foreign Affairs. So that's really what it is. It's a federal thing. And then they adopted more domestic duties, he explained to his ignorant dad. And so that's why they said this Department of State. But he's in the passport control. So if you want a passport, be good, because they can reject it. All right? And what I'm finding out is he's got 4 minutes to handle an application. So they don't have a lot of time. Make sure you do everything right on your application, right, if you want a passport. Because if it's not done right, then they have to send it back. So you're welcome, Matthew. I wish you could stay here and live here and preach for me. So, anyway, praise the Lord. You love the Lord Jesus?
Amen.
Now, I have an unusual subject today. And Amber, if you can keep that scripture handy, because I'm going to go back into it. I don't know if you noticed, but what we read today had a lot of good things in it. And like I've been on this theme, and forgive me if you don't understand what I'm saying, but you don't have to read your quota of the Bible to get something from God. What you need to do is capture the thought. And it might just be one verse or several verses. It might be a chapter. Maybe it's a few chapters. But see, I think what we need to do is get rid of all human ambition. Get rid of all wrong motives. For instance, to say, well, I read the Bible through the year. Aren't I great? I don't think God cares about that, right? And I think it's good, actually, to read it. I mean, I have done it, and it was good for me, like 4 or 5 years in a row, just to read it through. But I felt like checked in my spirit that I was missing things because I was trying to go too fast, you know, to read my quota for the day. And so the Word of God is a supernatural book.
Amen.
And we need to approach it with reverence and with the right motives. And how much of the Word of God does it take to really speak to you? So I would encourage you to approach the Bible. If you have the revelation that it's the Word of God and you understand that, with great reverence, not with any wrong motives, carnal motives, or anything like that. And you got to pray sometimes to see your motives, because we can't always see, you know, what we're doing. But if you pray, God's able to show you what's inside you and what you're thinking. And when you open the Bible, you know, first of all, it's His Word. It's not our word. It's not a newspaper. It's supernatural.
Amen.
He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ was the Word of God made manifest in our midst. And whether you realize it or not, Christians are called also to become that Word made manifest. Like, for instance, let's take Peter. You know, he's fishing, he's unlearned and ignorant, he can't even write or sign his name probably, and Jesus calls Peter, right? Now, the world may not call Peter, but Jesus called Peter to come and be part of this great movement to touch the whole world. And Peter, he discerns Peter's, and that, and he, you know, he knows his father, right? Peter, son of Jonas or whatever, And so anyway, he comes and follows Jesus. As Jesus is revealing himself to Peter, Peter's starting to catch who this is. And Peter's not getting the revelation from a seminary or from a book, but God is revealing to Peter who Jesus is. Right? Flesh and blood has not revealed this to thee, but my Father which is in heaven has revealed this to thee. And upon this rock I'll build my church. Spiritual revelation from God. That's how we understand. But I want you to notice, as Peter, like when God, sometimes God does things in events. He teaches us, but then when they were fishing all night, you know, and then they caught nothing, and then Jesus said, try the other side, and he tried the other. He said, but we fished all night, but at thy word we'll cast our nets. So he cast the nets, and then the boat is so full of fish, they need another boat to bring it up. And then when he sees Jesus, it's like apparent, this is more than a man. This is God. Amen. He said, depart from me. He said to Jesus, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. Part of experiencing God, you start to recognize yourself, your own condition. When you get close to God, you start to see things about yourself. And Peter recognized he was a sinner. So he's, depart from me, you know. And that was part of the process. You know, Peter stayed with Jesus and he followed Jesus, and he was a believer in Jesus. And then he come to the Last Supper, and Jesus is talking about dying, or even before the Last Supper, he's talking about dying. He says, no, you're not going to die. I don't want you to die. Jesus saying, no, we're going to go up to Jerusalem. The scribes and the Pharisees are going to crucify me, and I'm going to die, but I'm going to raise again. And all Peter hears is he's going to die. He's like, no, no, that can't be part of the plan, right? And then Jesus turns to Peter and says, depart from me, Satan, right? Be gone from me, Satan. Thou savorest the things of man, not the things of God. So Peter, you know, might have got confused by that, but see, he had a desire that was really more natural, and that happens to us, than it was spiritual. We get natural fleshly desires, but they're not the overall plan that we should have. So he realized he was a sinner. He was confused about things, and then Jesus said at the Last Supper, "You're all gonna flee from me, and tonight I'll die for you. I'll never betray. I'll never." Do you think he was sincere? I believe Peter was. I'll die for you. But that night, he ran. That night he cursed and denied Jesus three times. Jesus said, before the cock crows, you'll deny that you even know me. And if you look at all the gospels and all the stories, I believe Peter was within, I don't know how far away, but Jesus looked at him at that last time he denied him. Maybe Jesus could look through a window or look into another room and see Peter. He denied him, and their eyes met. How do you think Peter felt? He thought he would never deny him, but he denied him. And it says, he went out and he wept bitterly. So look at all the things he went through in meeting Jesus and learning about Jesus and being dealt with by Jesus. He never thought that very soon the Spirit of God would fall on him, and that he would be so filled with the Spirit of God that he'd walk through the gate called Beautiful and be so inspired by God that as the lame man was just asking for alms, just asking for some money, right, a beggar, he looks at him. Oh, praise God. He looks at him, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And the man stood up, and was walking and leaping and praising God in the temple. And they ran to Peter and they're like, wow, you're great. You know, he's like, don't look at us like we did anything. It's his name and the power of him and what he is. That's why this man walks. And Peter became the Word made flesh. Brothers and sisters, that's God's plan for you and I. Yes, we go through a lot of motions. Yes, we go through a lot of revealing about self and that we're sinners and that we fail God. But we get up again by the grace of God. And when we look at the plan of God, God doesn't get any glory out of you and I having a pity party. But he gets glory when you're down in that pit and you realize you're a sinner. When you look to Calvary and you say, because of what he did, I can live. Because of what he did, I can get up again. I don't want to fail him. I don't want to sin. I don't know how I'm going to change, but I'm going to follow him anyway. That's how he gets glory out of us. Not when we say, whenever your focus is inward, you're not going to find the purpose of life. Whenever you look to yourself and you look to your works, God doesn't want you to look at that. He wants you to look to him. Look unto me and be saved. Now that's not my sermon today, but that's free. Praise the Lord. You love him?
Amen.
I'm going to talk about him today, and so I just want to take my time with this. So, you know, in verse 27 it says, but God hath chosen. That's what we're going to talk about. But God hath chosen. It matters what he has chosen. And so we know there's a God. Now, that has to be revealed to you as well. There's some people that believe there is no God. I think it's harder to believe there is no God than there is a God. It's harder to believe that by chance there was some kind of explosion of material. And by the way, I don't know how all that material got there. But somehow material got there and exploded. And there was this chaos. And then throughout all that chaos, we have this perfect world. We have a perfect human beings that evolved out of nothing. That takes more faith than to believe there's a God who spoke and created this universe. And so I believe he lives. There is a God. And I believe he always was. And he always will be. That his life is eternal life. Now he gives a portion of life here that is not eternal. And that has to do with the fall and fallen man. But there is a God. He is the great I am. He is the creator. Do you believe that? He's the source, the only source of eternal life. I don't believe there's any other gods. I don't believe there's any other beings that have eternal life except Almighty God and those which he imparts life to. He is the fountain of all wisdom.
Amen.
Right? And we're going to talk about a lot of wisdom today, but in his mind and in his wisdom, what he possesses far exceeds any wisdom that we can have here. So, when you think about a God that's a creator, and you think about his mind and his plan, that he knows the end from the beginning, that kind of wisdom is so far above what we call wisdom. And there is two kinds of wisdom. And, Amber, could you put up James chapter 3, just verse 13? And if you want to turn, I just want to look at that. James praise the Lord. James chapter 3. Did you get it there? Good. And I'm going to start with verse 13. Hebrews, James. Praise the Lord. I didn't have this. Here we go. James chapter 3. Verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. So I want you to know that there's two kinds of wisdom. The Bible clearly teaches us. There's wisdom from above, God's wisdom. And then there's an earthly wisdom, a fleshly wisdom. Okay? For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, and then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy. Don't you love that? His wisdom is full of mercy.
Amen.
And good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So the point is, there's two kinds of wisdom. And we know that that's true. The Bible refers to wisdom. Now, some people think, well, all wisdom is good. No, not all wisdom is good. God's wisdom is good.
Amen.
But man's wisdom actually fights against God and the plan of God. So, praise the Lord. Brother Branham preached a sermon called Wisdom versus Faith. And we went through it here recently in the midweek services. If you never heard it, you should hear it. A lot of homework assignments today. Wisdom versus faith, right? So, the wisdom of man has reasoning in it. It looks at conditions, it looks at things around, and it starts to reason. It mixes reasoning with the Word of God. But the wisdom of God has no reasonings. The wisdom of God believes God. Full stop. I believe God said it. I believe that's it. Doesn't look and reason with the conditions. It says God's word is true regardless of the conditions. I believe God, because he's able to change the conditions.
Amen.
So now I love verse 21, Amber, in the 1 Corinthians that we read. Can you go back to that? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. And now this scripture, I can't explain why, but there's some scriptures that just draw me in. There's some verses, and when you look at verse 21, it says, "For after that in the wisdom of God," that way up wisdom, "the world by wisdom," that's their own wisdom, right, "knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." I love that. I love to think about that. You say, well, that's a little strange, Brother John, but I love to think about that verse, because what I see here is God in his infinite wisdom saw that man would start to lean on his own wisdom, his wisdom, his own intellect. And unsaved man would do that. Worldly, carnal man would do that. He would not lean on God. He would withdraw from God, and fallen man withdraws from God, and he start to lean on what he could figure out. But in the wisdom of God, he made it so it's impossible for the man leaning on worldly wisdom to find God. Now I want you to think about that. Man cannot find God by his intellect and by his wisdom and by the earthly self-dependence. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Praise God.
Amen.
Faith, the only way we can experience God and know God is to have faith in God. He designed this world that way. You will not ever experience God if you say, "I have to see it. It has to have proof." If you demand that in yourself, you never experience God. That's carnal, worldly, earthly reasoning. So God could see that man's going to put his trust in himself and what he could see, and man would lean to his own understanding and man wants to be independent. And if you realize, that's so childish. It's like a little child. Now I want to open this 600-pound door, and they're pushing on it, and they can't open it. And you try to help them. I'll help you, dearie. No! I'll do it myself. That's carnal man. Listen, you're laughing, but I'm talking about you. That's what you do to God, see? He wants to help us, and we're like, no! I'll take it from here. I'll save myself. It's like that little 2-year-old trying to open the 600-pound door. Never going to happen. He'll never get through that door, no matter how much effort and crying and tantrums and whatever. He can't get through the door unless God opens that door for him, right? We need help. But we don't like that. That's in our DNA. Listen, fallen man, part of the way you're hardwired is there's something in your flesh that wants to save itself. And do you realize how much pain and agony that little child trying to open that door, and how much agony people go through trying to save themselves when it's not required at all? It's faith in what he did for us. Faith in what he did for us. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. It's impossible. God has designed this world and all interaction with him. You cannot please God until you believe that he is, first, there is a God. And second, that he is a rewarder. This is Hebrews 11. He's a rewarder of those that seek him diligently. Now, if you've ever sought God diligently, you've gotten some of those rewards. How many has been rewarded for seeking God? Raise your hand. I can remember seeking God with all my heart, and we all do that, and he rewarded me. How does he reward us? He makes himself known to us. You're on the right track. He doesn't always come down, and he can if he wants, but he doesn't always come down and sit in your living room visible and say, hey, you're doing well. But he's able to show you personally by what the world would call coincidences or circumstances or things like that. And I've had so many of them, I feel blessed.
Hallelujah.
Because there's nobody that could ever convince me that there isn't a God. It's too late. He's already made personal contact here. He's already made himself known. He's already revealed to me that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that seek him diligently. My problem is getting self out of the way. My problem is getting me out of the way and seeking him with all my heart. Because if you do, you'll find him.
Amen.
And it's a beautiful thing. It's the most wonderful thing in life. See, people spend their whole life here with earthly wisdom trying to find the meaning of life within themselves. And it's not there. That's how frustrating it is. We have to look outside ourselves. Look unto me, he said, all the ends of the earth, and be saved. We have to look outside ourselves to find the meaning of life, because it's in him. Praise God. Now, God, he does not think preaching is foolishness. The Bible says, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, God doesn't think preaching is foolish, obviously. But he understands, and I love this, he understands that it looks foolish to that man full of worldly wisdom. God understands that what we're doing today looks foolish to the world. We're going to get into this because this is so true. Why does it look foolish? Because man is so lifted up in himself, he has a hard time seeing the humility of God. He can't understand how God makes himself so humble. And the worldly man doesn't understand that, you know, he's like, well, if God exists, why doesn't he come and do it himself? See, that's the way he thinks. He wants God to behave the way he wants him to behave. And he can't imagine that this great being of God chooses to reveal himself in a lowly way, in a humble way. Praise God.
Amen.
God only uses man. Brother Branham preached in 63, the absolute. God only uses man to work with. He doesn't use organizations. Now, that's something we believe. Other people don't believe that. But to me, I know it's true. He doesn't use organizations. He doesn't use machinery. He could have done it, but he chose a man. That's right. He could have chose the stars, the wind, or anything to preach the gospel, but he chose man. He does not change himself. He's always the same. He chose blood for redemption. See, it's our faith in what he did for us. That's redemption. Education or nothing else will ever take its place. Blood is God's provided way for salvation. See, when they sinned in the garden, the shed blood of an innocent one spared them that day. But they didn't live 1,000 years. See, a day with God is 1,000 years. The day you eat thereof, the day you die. But he covered them with animal skins, right? So that animal that died was innocent. So what God accepted right there in the garden and what he chose right there for salvation is the shed blood of an innocent one is the way I'll pacify sin, right? And all the Old Testament sacrifices are pointing to Calvary, to that old rugged cross where he, the Lamb of God, the spotless Lamb, took our place. And we're saved not by what we do, not because we're good, but because of our faith in what he did for us.
Hallelujah.
And the worldly wisdom says, that's too simple. If there's a God, he wouldn't do that. See, that's worldly wisdom. Who is he to say what God's going to do and what God's not going to do? But again, watch the theme today that, see, God who's great is able to make himself low. And our challenge in our life is to not follow the worldly pattern of being lifted up in your thinking, but to get rid of your thinking and to get low and to accept God's provided way. That's what we need to do, see? Preaching is something that the modern scholar looks down on. Now, I'm talking about, look at our universities today. They're filled with unbelief in the Word of God. They're filled with so-called scholars, filled with documentation on their walls that says, smart person, right? But that level of wisdom despises that you have to believe in God. They don't want anything to do with it. It's beneath him. This modern scholar, this unbeliever, really. It's an insult to his so-called intelligence. I say so-called intelligence. Okay, somebody might give him a degree from a university to say he's really smart. But if you don't believe there's a God, I think you're not very smart. Right? So it's an insult to his intelligence to say that there's a God. Why? He's blind to the fact that God has chosen a way that is very humble. And he can't make himself lower because he's lifted up. Look at my wall. It's full of degrees. The world told me I'm smart and I don't believe in God. It doesn't matter what the world says. The world changes its mind all the time. Right? Praise the Lord. God chose to speak through his word. God chose to speak through unworthy men. God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that are lost. That was God's chosen way. It's his choice. And what we need to do is accept God's chosen way. Now, I want you to notice, God chose something lower than where man wants to be. This is really evident to me, and it's all throughout the scriptures. You know, look at like Naaman when he wanted to be healed. He was a great general, and he goes to the prophet. And first, the prophet doesn't come out. He sends his servant out. How come he sent his servant out? Why didn't he come out himself? Because I'm so important. The prophet should have come out himself. Man's always doing that. And he says, go dip yourself in the Jordan 7 times, right? The Jordan is dirty. How come I could have dipped myself in the other place? Why do we always do that? Why do we always say, no, I don't want your way, God. I want some other way. We need to stop that. I'm talking about us. We need to stop being lifted up in our legends in our own mind and having a high opinion of our opinion. We need to get rid of our opinion. Our opinions is what causes us problems. Oh, Brother John, my opinions are God's opinions. Well, you're in more trouble than most people because you're so lifted up, you've elevated your opinion to the place, I'm in direct contact with God, I know everything. What if you're not? What if you're wrong? God help us. Praise the Lord. God chose something lower, but man wants to save himself. Remember, fallen nature of man, he wants to save himself. He wants to keep his dignity and pride. The whole salvation plan won't let you keep your dignity and pride. Right? Every death is hard, and every birth's a mess. Right? No matter how much dignity a woman has, and when she's going to have a baby, it's a mess. Been there. Haven't done it, but I've seen it. And it's a bloody mess. And it's painful. And there's tears and there's agony. It's a birth. It's a natural birth. The spiritual birth is a mess. You're not born again by saying, all right, God, let's do it. You and I, it doesn't work that way. The born-again experience comes through an agony. It's an experience with God. It's the Spirit of God, the eternal being of God. He humbles us to the place where we recognize our condition, we recognize our need for a Savior, and we cry out for mercy. Doesn't happen on an intellectual level. There are many people that claim to be Christians on an intellectual level. Yes, God, thank you. It's not the same. It doesn't produce the same thing. Man wants to keep his pride. He doesn't want to accept something he cannot see. He doesn't want to believe. He wants to. How arrogant is it for man to demand proof from God? You must prove to me you exist before I'll follow you. God laughs at that. That's unbelievable that you're going to do that to me, the creator of all things, and you got a pea brain compared to mine, and you're going to demand me to do something. Well, you know what? I'll just leave you alone. God, do you have scripture for that, Brother John? He resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble.
Amen.
When we are lifted up, we're going down right there. When we think we're so great, God can't even hardly talk to us. But when we can humble ourselves, that's when he can deal with us. That's when he can reveal truth to us. It's too hard for man to have faith in unseen God. Man wants something that he could figure out. And brothers and sisters, many Christians are that way too. I need to be able to figure it all out. I need to be able to understand how he can do it. We don't accept that God's going to do it. We can't rest in that. But we need to rest in that. We will not figure out his ways. His ways are beyond our ways. Praise God. The truth is, man can't save himself. I can't save myself. You can't save yourself. We need God to save us. And it's a wonderful thing for a man to come to the realization, I need a Savior. I'm a sinner. I'm lost without God. Because that's all of us. I don't care how righteous you think you are. We're all sinners. And we need a Savior. And we must come God's provided way. We can't know God by intellect. We have to know God by faith. By a new birth. which is a real experience with God. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, we got to come His way. Remember, not the way we want. Be careful of that. Not the way we think it should be. It's a plague. But we must lower ourselves. That's the key. Lower ourselves and forget about pride, dignity, and accept God's provided way. God has a provided way. And the first thing we got to recognize, what is that provided way? Of course, we know it's Calvary, faith, and what He did for us. And, you know, I say, oh God, give us ears to hear.
Amen.
Give me eyes to see.
Amen.
Help me to see Your way.
Amen.
Lord, I'm tired of my way. My way leads to misery.
Amen.
My way leads to trouble. But I know Your way is better than my way.
Amen.
Reveal to me Your way.
Amen.
Help me to see Your way. And then you'll find most of the time, I would say all of the time, it requires us to lower ourselves, to humble ourselves. Be like, God, you want me to go down there? Yep. But I don't want to go down there. That's lower. Listen, the plan of God is all about Him condescending. Now, not in a bad way. You know, when someone, you could say, well, someone's condescending, they think they're better than you and they talk down to you. That's not God's way to condescend. He came from glory. He lowered, He stooped, stooping to woo, to win, to save my soul. Down from His glory. See, Almighty God put the fullness of His Spirit in a man. That was condescending. He was humbling. See, God has a great capacity to humble Himself.
Amen.
And the greatest evidence of that is when He interacts with you and I. Who are we? Why would He want to interact with us? But He does. He lowers Himself. He stoops down beneath and He gets lower. And listen, you and I need to learn that. We need to get really good at that. Going lower than what our flesh wants us to be. Your flesh, man, I'm telling you right now, is trying to lift you up and pride and dignity and oh my. Self-righteousness and I'm great and you're not. And no, you get something from God when you realize I'm no better than anybody.
Amen.
Matter of fact, I'm worse than everybody. Paul said, chiefest of sinners. Well, Paul, technically, you're not the chiefest of sinners. See, he had a revelation. Paul had a revelation. He was lifted up. He knew the word. He was doing things he thought was right, and they were wrong. And when he experienced God and was knocked off his high horse, God knows how to knock off horses. He's still knocking off horses today.
Amen.
He still humbles us today. We should thank God when He humbles us.
Amen.
But we in ourselves need to see how low we can get, not how lifted up we can get. Praise God.
Amen.
Lord, open my eyes.
Amen.
Verse 21, Amber, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Hallelujah.
Amen.
For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block. Christ crucified is a stumbling block to Jews. Unto the Greeks, foolishness. Right? They're all in their intellect. So are many people today. That's foolishness. But unto them which are called, verse 24, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. See, if you ever get the right revelation, you're going to realize that Jesus Christ, He is the power of God.
Amen.
He is the wisdom of God.
Amen.
Knowing Christ is knowing the truth.
Amen.
Knowing Christ is the answer that I've longed for all my life. Knowing Jesus Christ. Praise God.
Amen.
Didn't Jesus say, I am the way, the truth, and the life? Hey, Amber, can we turn to John 18? John 18 and verse 33. Jesus standing before Pilate. Brother John, why are you preaching on this? I have no idea. I really don't. But I couldn't get away from it. So John 18,
hallelujah,
verse 33. Praise God. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said to him, art thou the king of the Jews? Look what Jesus said to him. And Jesus answered him, sayest thou this of thyself, or did others tell thee of me? Praise God. You know, he could have just said, yes. He wants to know, do you know? Did other people tell you that Jesus was God, or that he's a Savior, or did you experience it yourself? Did you experience him yourself? Did others tell to thee? 35, Pilate, a little offended, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Look at verse 36. This is not just a man. This is God.
Amen.
Condescending down into a man and getting ready to be crucified, a brutal death. Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said to him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate said unto him, what is truth? What is truth? Look at the people going through life, searching for truth. What is truth? See, it's the wrong question. It's who is truth? He is the truth. The truth is there's a God, and his name is Jesus Christ. Praise God. I love that. What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said, I find no in him no fault at all. No fault at all. You know, Pilate found no fault in Jesus. There was no fault in him. They were lying about him, and he could tell, listen, this is not a bad man. He was forced into what he did, right? Tried to wash the blood off his hands, he couldn't do it. God help us to see.
Amen.
The truth about life is Jesus Christ. You don't find the truth in yourself. You don't find the truth in what you do. You find truth in him. You find life in him. I am the way, the truth, and the life. When we find him, we find the answers to life. If you're hungry, you should find him. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. You know, he's the answer.
Amen.
If you have a problem today, he not only has the answer, he is the answer.
Amen.
I'm so convinced of that most of our real troubles come when we don't look to him for the answer to our problems. We try to figure it out ourselves, like that little boy trying to open the door. He has the answer.
Amen.
He wants to open the door. If we'll just turn to him. Praise God. What else has God chosen? Because of the foolishness, because the foolishness of God, this is in 1 Corinthians 25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. Now, this is really wonderful. The foolishness of God is wiser than men. The weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Paul's taking note. Listen, not many wise men after the flesh are called. Not many mighty. That which looks foolish in the things of God, it's wiser than anything men has. That which looks weak, a Christian submitting, humbling himself, looks weak to the world, it's stronger than anything the world can produce. Right? Not many mighty, not many noble. Praise God. You know, the meek shall inherit the earth. Who shall inherit the earth? The meek. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. All these kingdoms, all this political nonsense, all man-made war machines, they're not going to inherit the earth. All that which looks mighty, it's going away. And the lowly and meek shall inherit the earth. Who's going to rule over there? Praise God. God hath chosen the foolish things in the world, verse 27, but God hath chosen. Now this is what we have to understand. God made a choice. God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Let me stop there for a moment. God hath chosen those things that look foolish to the world because he wanted to confound the wise. Can we bring up Matthew 11, 25? Matthew 11, 25. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Matthew 11, 25. At that time, Jesus answers, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. What kind of wisdom is that? That's worldly wisdom. Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Those people that think they're so smart, it's hidden. Has revealed themselves to babes, lower, little, nothing, no power, nothing. Everybody wants to be so important. That's a mistake. Praise God.
Amen.
Verse 26, even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. Verse 27, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. People are trying so hard in this world to accomplish greatness, but they refuse to humble themselves to Jesus Christ, the one who is great. We become great when we become little. When we humble ourselves to God. When we submit to God. But if we turn from God and we say, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do what I want. And we rebel against God. That's our downfall right there. We're nothing without Him. Without Him we can do nothing. Praise the Lord Jesus. God had chosen the foolish things of the world. 1 Corinthians 1:27 to confound the wise, and God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, and base things of the world, base things, and things which are despised, things which the world despises, God chose those things on purpose. God wouldn't do that. Yes, He does. He went out and they said, you can't do anything on the Sabbath day. They made all these rules on the Sabbath, right? You can't do this, you can't do that. So he healed a man on the Sabbath day on purpose to get in their face. He does it on purpose. He chooses things that are base and despised according to the world. Now, what is base? I looked it up, the definition. Base, morally low. God chose morally low? See, all the self-righteous legalists go, no. He wouldn't do that. He does it.
Amen.
He chooses things that are low and base. Without esteemable personal qualities. Base. That which is highly esteemed among men is abomination to God.
Amen.
Dishonorable. Wait a minute, time out. God would not choose things that are dishonorable. God would not choose things that are morally low. He does it to reveal His power. He takes the lowest and He cleans it up and makes it shine for His glory.
Hallelujah.
He took Paul, who was killing Christians. So much of the Christians are going, whoa, he can't be one a Christian. He was killing Christians. And He used him in a mighty way. You know why He takes people that are low? Because they know they're nothing. People that are all lifted up, they think they did it. God picked me because I'm great. No, God picks sinners. Jesus came to save sinners. And if you don't know you're a sinner, He can't save you. Base things, morally low, without esteem, dishonorable, of little or no value, worthless. God chooses worthless people. Base, characteristic or befitting an inferior person, of illegitimate birth is base. You know, Jesus Himself, they thought that Mary and Joseph conceived Jesus before they were married. He had a bad name to begin with. He was a baser sort of character. They looked down on Him. You know, be careful the ones you look down on. They're the ones that God chooses. Many times. He chooses people that are nothing. Base, not classical or refined. What's classical? Drink your tea with your... Refined. You know, that's man does that. Man says it has to be... See, the devil loves dignity. The Brother Bam said the devil's been dignifying religion. He tries to get people all lifted up and all that posh and external appearance. And God picks the baser sort. Hallelujah. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. Praise God. See, the truth is, I have no right to stand behind this pulpit myself. Sinner. But I'm saved by grace.
Yes.
He took me down when I was in a pit of sin, drinking drugs, alcohol, morally base and low, and all my ambitions were wrong. And He touched me.
Yes.
Changed my desires. I don't want those things now. But that's what I was. How can I look down on somebody there? How can I look down on a sinner and say, hey, you're a sinner. I'm righteous. No, I'm not. I have no right. He is my righteousness. He is my sanctification. Praise God. Not classical. Look who Jesus picked as disciples. fishermen that were unlearned and ignorant, not scholarly men. He didn't pick scholars. Why do we all want to be scholars? Help us, Lord. Why do we want the approval of man when they don't know what pleases God? He didn't pick the high priest in the temple as a disciple. You know why? Because he wouldn't come. He wouldn't believe. No, Jesus picked the lowly fisherman, the unlearned and ignorant. Can you imagine what it was like after the man, Jesus, God, healed the man by the gate called Beautiful, using Peter and John, right? And they hauled them in front of the priests. Classical, defined robes and whatever. Saying, how did you do this? Can you imagine? God sat there and going, oh my, I'm going to have fun today. They despise these men. They smell like fishermen. Amen. Let's get this over with quick so we can get them out of here. Praise God. Amen. Be careful that you don't rely on your own understanding. Be careful that you don't get lifted up in your mind. God is so great that he makes himself so little. Sometimes it's too little for people to accept that it's even God. They were looking at Jesus, God manifested in flesh. And they were staring right at him and they missed that it was God. They didn't realize God was speaking to them. Because it can't be God. He was a bastard child. That can't be God. He was born in a stable. That can't be God. Praise God. Our God is so amazing. He's so great, but in his greatness, he makes himself so little. He humbles himself. And if that spirit dwells in you, you will humble yourself. It'll cause you to humble yourself lower than you could ever imagine. Praise the Lord. And people want to be all dignified. They want to be all refined. I say, don't try to be something you're not. Be who you are. Be what God made you to be. And be genuine. And be sincere. And be honest. And if you're wrong, say you're wrong. Especially with God. We can't hide anything from him anyway. Be honest with God. Praise the Lord Jesus. So much in this world, people trying to be popular, trying to be more powerful, trying to be greater, trying to possess more, trying to be more beautiful, when all of those things are not of God at all. Prophet of God stood in this generation, he said, modern worldly beauty is of the devil. The devil uses that. Listen, you be what you are, and you be sincere with what you are, but don't be what the world wants you to be. And we're always picking on people, but listen, there's a beauty to being modest. The world's not going to applaud a woman that dresses modestly. The world's going to applaud someone who looks sexual, because that's of the devil. But God wants us to be modest in our attitude, in our dress, in our life. Help us, Lord. And base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, and that no flesh should glory in his presence. Now notice, God chose that things which are not are going to bring to naught things which are, things that people can't see. See, the unseen world, there's all these unseen forces. And people who don't believe in that, they're tossed about to and fro. They don't even know what's hitting them. But a Christian realizes there's an unseen world. Of course, we're very sensitive to that. There are unseen beings. Do you realize, do you believe in your heart, there's beings in this building today that you can't see? Well, I'm not sure of that, Brother John. I believe it.
Amen.
Because the Bible says so. The angels look in on what we're doing today. They are interested in what's happening today. The world says this is foolishness. This is nonsense. But to us that are saved, it is the power of God. Because God can, from His Word, use an unworthy vessel and speak to people. And it's His provided way, His chosen way to change us.
Hallelujah.
If we can believe. If we can embrace it. That there's something more going on. There's something higher. There's something greater. There's an unseen forces. There's unseen angels that exist. They have the power to destroy this world, but they're being held back right now. Do you realize God is holding back the destroying angels? Because something still needs to happen yet. But judgment is coming upon this world. There's unseen forces that are going to help, they're going to cause destruction in this world. They may influence this and influence that, things we don't understand. But it's being held off right now. Why? Because God has a plan and His children are still here and that plan has to be out. But I believe His children be taken out of this world before judgment hits. I believe. Why? Because we were judged with Him on Calvary. And if you're one with Him, you become one with Him. And when He died on the cross, you died on the cross. And the penalty was paid there for us. We don't need to pay another penalty like some people believe and go through tribulation period. No, I believe that the bride, that chosen group that God chose, a lowly group. They don't think they're great. Remember the little story Brother Branham told about the washed girl? Well, it was just a story he was telling. Listen, it was more than just a story. She felt unworthy to be the bride.
Amen.
The bride does not feel worthy to be the bride.
Amen.
She feels unworthy to be chosen, but she had interaction with Him and she believes Him and He said, "You're my bride."
Amen. Hallelujah.
I wish I could give that to everybody. But you have to have that experience.
Amen.
You have to. I saw my name on the book. And it, not that it said John, but He touched me.
Amen.
He showed me something. Praise God. There's unseen forces. And we know that the things that are seen will be brought to naught by the things that are unseen. Let me read this to you. You don't have to turn to it. Hebrews 11:3 says, "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." So by faith in the Word of God, by our experience with God, interacting with the Spirit of God, we have understanding by faith that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. And the things which we see were not made by things that we can see. They were made by unseen things. Right? People here are trying to understand this world only by that which they can see. And they can't understand it. They can't explain it. But that which, that person that sees the unseen, they have understanding of how it works. Praise God.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 2:9, don't turn. "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him."
Thank you, Lord.
So by faith, we understand He is preparing a place for us. This world is not our home. We're in enemy territory.
Amen.
We're in the testing time. We understand that. By faith, we understand that God is preparing a place for us. We cannot see it, but by faith we see it and we believe it's true and it's wonderful. I just know, because we know Him and we know His character, it's a wonderful place that He's preparing for us. Praise God. I'll try and hurry up. 2 Corinthians 4:17. "For our light affliction..." Now I realize everybody thinks they got a heavy affliction in life. But the Bible's more true than what we think. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. See, the unseen things of life are the most precious things. Love. Can you see love? You see love in action. Can you see love? Can you see joy? You see somebody that has joy. Can you buy peace and rest? The rich people would, if they could. But Christians receive these things. And those unseen things are more precious than the things you possess, the natural things.
Amen.
Right? Praise God.
Amen.
But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, glory in the Lord. You know, he is our wisdom.
Amen.
He is our strength.
Yes.
He is our righteousness. He is our sanctification. He is our redemption. He is everything. That's worth having. It's him. Forsake your worldly ambitions. Seek after him. Because in him is everything that satisfies a human being. There's an emptiness inside of us that is only satisfied by our Maker. And oh, when he comes inside of us, he satisfies us.
Amen.
That's the mystery of God. We're listening on Thursday night to Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed. It's one of the most beautiful sermons Brother Branham preached.
Amen.
And I recommend homework. You should hear it and read it and listen to it. I've already. Do it again. I want to say something Brother Branham said here about this sermon. He said, now, I want you to turn to the book of Colossians. We're not going to turn right now. That's the other homework assignment. You have to read Colossians 1. Now, you got wisdom versus faith. You have Christ as a mystery of God revealed, and you got to read Colossians 1. And we're going to grade you. Now, I want you to turn to the book of Colossians, the first chapter. And while we read this beginning, I want you to go home and read the entire chapter of Colossians. But I want you to read this with me this morning. Now, listen. This is what Brother Branham says before he reads the text for the sermon. And now just be as patient as you can, for I feel that in this here, if God will help me, will reveal and bring into your mind all these other things that I have talked on all through the days of the tabernacle, why I have said what I've said, why I have done what I've done. This is why. If you want a summary of what the message is about, it's about Christ in you, the hope of glory. The mystery of God revealed. God's great mystery, this great hidden truth, is that Christ, oh, praise the Lord. I believe with all my heart. I know I'm kind of long here, but let me just finish up. You know, we look at Jesus in the Bible. What was he? He was a simple man. He didn't have a collar turned around. He wasn't a priest. He looked common. He was a carpenter, right?
Amen.
Almighty God revealed himself in a common way, in a lowly way. Not as people would, not dressed like a priest. And so the religious people didn't see it because it was so lowly and common. God came in such a humble way. I want you to remember, if you get something, he comes, it's too humble. Can't be God. It's so humble that people overlook God. He has a way of doing that. If you want to find God, see how little you can get in your own sight. Still happens today. People overlook God. Born in a manger. Bad name to begin with. No worldly possessions. Didn't have a place to lay his head. He didn't have anything according to this world, but he was everything. So humble, so lowly. Remember, when God revealed himself, he wasn't uppity. You know what uppity is? He wasn't worldly mighty. He wasn't stuck up. The common people heard him gladly. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. God hiding himself in humility, down from his glory, ever living story. Let me just, if you can put this scripture, I'm going to finish with this. Romans 12:16, Amber. Let's all stand. Romans 12:16-18. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things. We understand what that means. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. That's the word of God. Condescend to low, men of low estate. Praise God. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, unusual message today, Lord. And I just trust you, Father, when you come and put thoughts into my mind that there's some reason that I don't understand, Lord. But Lord, it's wonderful to look at you, the Almighty God, and yet such humility when you reveal yourself. Lord, help us to find you. Give us that hunger and thirst, Lord. If there's one here that's not saved, Lord, I ask that you just give them such a thirst, Lord, to be saved. Open their eyes to see their need, O God. Let them not rest day or night until they embrace Calvary and what you've done for them, Lord. Lord, if there's a Christian here, Lord, that they know they've gotten away from you, Lord. Lord, I just ask you to show them the way back. It's a way of humility, humbling ourselves to you, Lord. Help us to not focus on our works, but to focus on your works. Grant it, Lord. Bless each and every one today. Wash us in the blood of Calvary and make us whiter than snow. Fill us with your Spirit, Lord. Have your way in our life. We want you to have control and have preeminence, Lord. Grant it, O God. Bless each and every one today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Down from his glory. Let's see if we can find that in the songbooks today. Ever living story. My God and Savior came, and Jesus was his name. Let's see if we can find that. Down from his glory. Ever living story. What was that? 188, Jeremy, 188. Amen. What a wonderful God, sir. 188, down from his glory. Praise the Lord.